It's a gentleman
okay,
at the top
thanks.
left of my screen. I don't know where he's on yours.
Hang on.
Alan. Welcome, Alan. Sonny Corwin.
Sonny.
Yes.
Over to you. I'll give the notice at the end of the service.
Okay. So, do you mute everyone else when I'm speaking, or?
Brenda will mute everybody.
Well, yes, I'm muting everybody.
Okay. Don't worry about being muted.
All right. It's lovely to see everybody this morning, and even though I'm not there in person, and even though we're not, you know, physically with each other in person, it's wonderful that we have this joy and this privilege that we can at least worship together. And, you know, it's a good reminder that wherever we are, here we are in Wales, and yours, many of you in Grappin Hall or Warrington area, and Latchford or wherever it is that you come from. And God is with us wherever we are. And that's a wonderful reminder. And we should also give thanks for technology that God has allowed us to have, and how it's come into its fore during this time of pandemic. So it's great that we can meet together for worship. Now, I believe that Brenda's got some hymns all set up ready for us. So let's join together in our first one. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
Jesus the Nazarene.
Wow, I thought I was back in Grappin Hall then for a moment or two. Just before we come to prayer, I just want to, my little testimony. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. I went back to bed again afterwards, but it was so pitch black outside that I thought, if it's a clear night, I wonder what I can see. So I stood on our back doorstep for a few minutes, looking up into the night sky. And it was just incredible, the number of stars and, you know, obviously planets as well that I could see, just realizing just how far away they are and how God has got them all in the palm of his hand. You know, if you look down the valley here, from where I'm sitting now, and I look down our valley, I can see about 10 miles away. And I'd probably be able to see a light from a house that far, just about. But when you look up into that night sky and you see, you know, the bright stars from so far away that it's unimaginable to think how far away they are, it just makes you think of the power and the glory and the amazing God that we worship and that we serve. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we thank you that you are an amazing, a fantastic, you know, God that, you know, created all the things that we can see and hear, all the things that we can perceive in any way, that they were all made by your almighty hand. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the reminder at times of just how great you are. And Lord, you know, we're reminded too, I think the psalmist reminds us that, you know, we are but just, you know, dust almost in your hands, that we are created by you, that out of the dust you formed us and you made us intricate in all our parts and being. And we thank you too, Lord, for that and for the love that you have for us, that when we look at that vast universe, to think that you, Almighty God, has a love for each one of us that is tender and true, and that you are there for us wherever we are and whatever we do. Thank you, Lord, that we have this immense privilege this morning of meeting with you, sharing our thoughts, learning from you, listening from you, Lord. And, you know, we do pray that as we come together, you know, you will help us to realize what a great God we serve, what a wonderful Lord you are. And especially, Lord, this morning we thank you for sending Jesus, your own Son, to be our Savior. You loved us so much that you sent him to come and to show us how to live, but then ultimately to die in our place, not for his own sins, but in our place for our sin, that we might receive the fullness of life that you have stored up for each one of us. So thank you this morning, Lord, and you know we do pray that you would just be with us throughout the rest of this service. And as we come to that time when we remember again the sacrifice that you made. Be with us, we pray, Lord. And we ask all of these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Could we have our next hymn, please, Brenda? I serve a risen Saviour.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near.
He lives,
Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
He lives,
salvation to impart. You ask me how I know.
Fantastic pictures of Wales there. Thank you, Brenda. So Nandi is going to read from John's Gospel in chapter 16 for us this morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. So the reading is from John chapter 16, verses 17 to 24. The disciples' grief will turn to joy. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? And because I'm going to the Father," they kept asking, "what does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Beautifully read. Thank you. just want to, I can just get myself organized. Can you see me all right? Can you hear me? Thank you. You know, I like climbing mountains. Well, I used to like it even more when I was younger. Nowadays, it's often more like armchair climbing. Walking in the hills is one of the things that brought us to Wales. It's a bit hillier and more mountainous here than in Cheshire. When starting out to walk to a mountain or a hilltop, you generally know that there will probably be some boggy ground, possibly some dense undergrowth, maybe some briars. There could be rivers to cross. And it's not long before you can start to wonder whether you're making any headway at all. It's especially tough if you lose sight of the mountain top for periods of time. And as we all know, there are likely to be a few false summits too. In this season of Lent, it's good for us to be reminded of the price that God has paid in order to make a way for us to become members of his family here on earth and to provide a safe passage for us to make our way to future glory. I hope that by reflecting this morning on a few thoughts from Scripture, God will guide us to a clear understanding of his ways and purpose for us as we journey on our way through some pretty tough ground. The way forward in life may not seem straightforward, and there may be times when we wonder if we're on the right path. If I'm walking with my wife, we will always, and I mean always, reach a point, especially when the path gets a bit obscure, when she'll ask, "Are you sure this is the right way?" On our journey through the Christian life, be assured that God knows the way. We have a little plaque in our conservatory that reads, "God not only knows where he's taking you, but he also knows how to get you there." It's probably fair to say that for some, the current journey is tougher than for others. And it may well be that for some of us will encounter even tougher times to come. Whereas others of us may have already been through the mill. And yet others may be going through the worst of our journey right now. One thing is for sure, a bit like death or taxes, all of us face hard times in life. If I mention COVID-19 now, then I may be able to avoid it again through the rest of the talk. What we are seeing at this moment in history is a period where those hard times in life are being experienced by so many people in almost every country of the world at the same time. Unprecedented has become a word that we hear daily. You know, I was born the year after the end of World War II, but those old enough to remember those dark days of 1939 to 1945 will also recall the daily diet of bad news and the tragic deaths of young servicemen and women, as well as the huge numbers of civilian deaths in many places at home and abroad. Sadly, 1945 wasn't the end of war. Mankind doesn't learn. And when the current pandemic ends, it won't mean the end of disease or terminal illnesses. They will still be with us. But you'll be pleased to hear that I don't want to bring you any more bad news this morning. I'm here to share good news and hope. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grow inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We live in a world created perfectly by God, but now in bondage to suffering and decay by the actions of sinful man. But God has a plan. The Bible says that God's plan to save the world, a plan that fills us with hope. This time of Lent reminds us that God's plan was there right from the very beginning of time. God does not just react to events. He set out a plan of action to take before the events happened. 1,500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God's way of doing things is so much more different than what we would do. I can't imagine for a moment that we would set out to save the world through the pain and suffering of one man. But this is what God has done. Notice the use of the inclusive words in this familiar passage. Rejected by mankind, people hide their faces, our pain, our suffering, our transgressions, each of us, and the iniquity of us all. In our evangelical faith, we rightfully apply these verses to ourselves as individuals. Jesus is my Saviour. It's personal. But the verses here that Isaiah writes remind us that it's also universal. He suffered for all of us. But God has allowed us the choice whether we believe and accept his forgiveness and the gift of new life or not. But he himself did not discriminate. Jesus suffered for all, Jew, Gentile, black, white, rich or poor, male or female. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And that good news is often revealed through suffering. And we too will go through our own suffering in order to gain the glory, the future hope, and eventually to arrive in a new, more perfect life. Some years ago in New Zealand, Sue and I were treated to a fantastic display of nature. Some monarch butterflies had laid eggs on a couple of bushes in the garden. And over the period of a few weeks, we watched as those eggs first hatched into caterpillars. And then after a few days eating and munching their way through the leaves, they began to wrap themselves up, pupate is the word, into chrysalis, attaching themselves firmly to the underside of those plant leaves. And here they undergo what is known as metamorphosis. They literally change from a crawling caterpillar unable to fly into a beautiful butterfly. As they emerged after 2 weeks in the chrysalis, we could see that they had such a struggle to free themselves from the old life that held them onto the leaf. It was painful even to watch them trying to discard the cocoon that held them fast. But even then, there was still another struggle to come as they gradually opened their newly formed, wet, sticky wings into the strong breeze of the hot sun to dry them out. Again, we almost felt as if we wanted to help, but no, you can't help. They need to go through this struggle in order to be prepared for the new life and the new freedom as a butterfly. If you intervene and take away the struggle in some well-meaning way, you actually prevent them becoming butterflies. Jesus became a man. You probably got the idea. He too went through the pain, the rejection, and ultimately the death on a cross on that first Good Friday, in order that he could emerge as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on Easter Day. It was something that only he could do, and do alone. Deserted by his friends, abandoned by his father, and rejected by the religious leaders. In hindsight, we wonder whether anyone could or should have helped. What would we have done, asks the old hymn. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Let's be realistic this morning that even if we had been there, we wouldn't have done anything different than those who were. This was something that only Jesus could do. And praise God that on that cross, on his own, Jesus suffered way beyond anything that we will ever face. He defeated death, and the kingdom of God was ushered in. Lent, for us today, is like the time in the chrysalis. We're bound and can only see this world. We're in transition, awaiting our newfound freedom and new life. And even as Christian believers, we too may have to face struggles before we fully realize our potential in the kingdom of God. Because we follow Jesus, it doesn't make us immune from trouble or pain or grief. During his final few weeks on earth, Jesus took time to prepare his disciples for the grief and the persecution to come. They were going to face a struggle and hard times. But Jesus tells them that at the other side of the trouble, there will be joy. In verse 20 of our reading from John 16 that Sonali read to us earlier, Jesus tells his disciples, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." I've been following the morning prayers in Lectio 365, a Bible reading thing that we have on an app on the phone. And over the past weeks, we've been spending time in the Beatitudes. And I noticed something that I've never seen before. Have you ever noticed what kind of people God promises to bless? Just go to the Beatitudes and we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Yeah, I've noticed, I hadn't really seen it before, that those who are blessed are all those who are the least or the least able in society, as well as those who go through grief or persecution, or those hungering or thirsting for righteousness, or those at the receiving end of evil. Yeah, these are the people who are blessed. And that includes you and me and all those for whom we pray. You know, none of us will ever have to pay the price that Jesus paid. Only Jesus knew what it was to have his Father forsake him. Because God has promised to us never to forsake us, never to leave us. And once we put our faith and trust in him, no matter what struggles, no matter what griefs, no matter what hardships, no matter what issues we might be going through, he will always, always be with us. Our hope and our future are assured. Jesus has overcome. And we too will overcome whatever present troubles we face. I love reading the book of Revelation, and toward the end of Revelation 21 verse 7 tells us that they who overcome will inherit all of this, and I will be their God and they will be mine. And in the same chapter a little earlier it says, and he, that's God, will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying, or pain. As Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So this morning, it's a bit like climbing a mountain or a hill. Once you get to the top, you soon forget all those obstacles that you encountered on the way. In fact, overcoming the difficulties seems to make the joy of reaching the summit all the sweeter. I'd like to encourage all of us this morning to be like the caterpillar as we go through our struggles, who said, one day I will fly. One day it'll all be worth it, whatever we're going through. God bless. Amen. We're just going to spend a few moments in prayer, and then we're going to sing our next hymn. But first, let's pray. God of hope and love, as we reflect on this last year, we lift to you all that has been lost. We grieve for loved ones taken away too soon. We lament the inequalities that have left vulnerable people alone and have pushed some people further into poverty. And we long for the day when we can meet again. Yet through the difficulty, we give you praise for all the good work that has been done and for the way the church has stepped up to respond in this time of need, both seen and unseen. We thank you for your faithfulness and for the light that can be found even in the darkest of times. We especially pray for those of our own church family who are struggling with health issues or personal and family relationships or difficulties. We pray for those who are feeling lonely or concerned for loved ones. Lord, assure them all of your continuing presence and please bring healing to those who need it. We lift before you those who work tirelessly in our hospitals and care homes, and others who continue to provide essential services. Lord, please strengthen and encourage them in their efforts on our behalf. We also pray for our leaders, scientists, politicians, and others who are called on to make sometimes difficult decisions and choices that affect all of us. Lord, please provide them with wisdom and integrity. We pray for our world, your world really, that people from every nation and tongue will learn to work together in love and service to one another. And we pray that you will continue to bless your church, that it will be emboldened to step up and out further and further. And we ask that your kingdom come and your will be done. And finally, we thank you for the hope that we find in trusting our future to you, through knowing Jesus Christ, who promised that one day our grief and pain will turn to joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we sing together, Brenda? There is hope. There is a hope.
I stand in Christ with sin. test of time that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face, when suffering ceases and sorrows die and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly whole.
When suffering
ceases and sorrows die and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly whole. Thank
you to Stuart Townend for writing those incredible words. They're just so meaningful. I hope they were to you too this morning. We're going to come to the time of communion, and I hope that you have your wine and some emblem of bread for us to share together. And though we can't be there, you know, physically sharing these emblems together, we can remember that God is with us and we can do this wherever we are. So, as we come to share in the Lord's table, we recognize that though we may be separated by distance, we are together as one body, Christ's body here on earth. And as such, we're united in our desire to remember his sacrifice for us as we eat the bread and we drink the wine or the juice. And that bread and wine are tangible reminders of the broken and pierced body of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. First, though, we need to remind ourselves of some words from 1 Corinthians 11, where in verse 27, Paul reminds us that we need to examine ourselves before taking the bread and the wine to make sure that we are doing this in a worthy manner. If there's anything that we're aware of that needs forgiving, then we need to confess it now. Let's have a moment of quiet. We praise you, Lord God, King of the universe, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, as he has commanded us, we do this in remembrance of him, and we ask you to accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we who receive your gifts of bread and wine may share in the body and blood of Christ. As we take the bread and we break it, we give thanks for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. is they take the bread and eat it together. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. And now, as we take the wine or the juice, we take the cup and remember the precious blood of Jesus, the blood that washes whiter than snow. And we give you thanks, Lord, for your amazing love to each one of us. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all mankind. Amen. Can we conclude our service with singing together, Thine Be the Glory? Wow, how many of you joined in the Descat?
Bit too high for me, that. And thanks, Alan. Thanks very much for leading this morning service. Plenty to think about there. Tuesday night is our next Bible study, our third study in the Lenten series. I've sent out the notes to those who've been attending. Next Sunday, it's Mothering Sunday, and Jill will be contacting people this week to participate in that. In a fortnight, we have David Robinson. 10 years since, well, it's more than 10 years since David visited us at Bramhall Hall. As some of you will know, David was a missionary in Southeast Asia for 37 years, a long time anyhow. And today, he now works amongst the Thai population in the UK. And there's more Thai in the UK than you would think, because think of all them Thai restaurants, and they're all run and managed and employ lots of Thai people. And many Christians amongst the Thai community. David's mission today is to the Thai Christians within the UK. So he'll talk a little bit about that before, besides delivering his message. So that's a fortnight today on the 21st. We're also looking back to return to church on the 28th, Palm Sunday. And we're also looking to make a collection for the Warrington Food Bank, both that Sunday and the following Sunday, Easter Sunday. So if you can't get out to the shops, as we did earlier in the year or end of last year, vouchers, places like Tesco could be considered. But we'll try and make an effort to support the food bank as their resources are put under increasing strains. I think that's about it. And no further notices. Anybody else got anything to say? No? A few shakes of the heads. Well, can I wish you all a good morning and enjoy the sunshine. And again, thanks, Alan. Thanks for leading us in this morning's worship. Take care, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.